This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean RJ along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back, live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And everyone's still reacting to the George Pickens deal that went down yesterday. Props to Bobby. Were you getting a lot of phone feedback for all the work you did on the story?
No, I was getting a lot of tweets about Slick Rick had it first. Slick Rick, he's the one that had it first.
Who's that? Rick Rude?
No, Slick Rick is this phony like incarcerated Bob account on Twitter, basically, that everybody keeps trying to give credit to because all they see are the hits. They don't see all the misses he has. Like, the Cowboys are trading or releasing Trayvon Diggs by March 17th. And it's like, okay, well, that doesn't happen. Nobody circles back on it.
Right.
But he's got a lot of those. And so he likes to chime in. Now, I will say, we tweeted it at 5:27, whatever it was. The timestamp on my text to you guys was before he tweeted whatever he tweeted last night. So,
Sheffy in your dropping face, that bomb
Pretty Ricky or Slick Rick or whatever your name is.
Peyton with the plane drop. All right, so yesterday I'm just going around looking for different reaction, and I was pretty blown away by Jason Garrett. Analyst still, I believe, for Football Night in America and NBC. Choppy, you've always loved JGZ, kind of away from this show, telling the stories and elaborating. And I'm just going to go through these cuts. I thought it was awesome. This was with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. Jason Garrett with his reaction to the Pickens deal.
I think it's a great trade for Dallas. I really do. If you look at their team, I think they got a lot of good weapons. And for me, the whole thing works because of the quarterback. You know, Dak can work with anybody. He'll bring the best out in everybody. But if you think about them breaking the huddle now, Pickens goes and plays the X receiver. You move C.D. Lamb around. He can be your F, your inside guy. He can be your Z. He's going to be your motion guy. He's so good at that. Love the tight end. They're building the offensive line. There's a lot of really good things going on. But again, for me, it always goes back to Dak. You know, he's the guy that's going to run the show. He's going to make all the different pieces work together for them. And I think they have the right mentality. They're trying to reestablish the line of scrimmage, run the football. They've used a lot of resources up front. And so when you do that and you add some weapons outside, those weapons are going to get a lot of single coverage, and Pickens and Lamb can take advantage of it.
So there he is. He's kind of drawing out for you what the Cowboys' weapons will look like when they break that huddle. And it sounds sexy to me. I'm excited for it. I am in for Oxnard. I'm officially back for Cowboys training camp. And one of the popular things now that you're starting to hear from all these analysts, the term they're starting to use for the boys is sneaky. I think they could be sneaky good. I could think they're a sneaky playoff team. They got sneaky offensive weapons. Schottenheimer could have a sneaky season, and here's Jason Garrett talking about their sneaky talent.
You know, in Dallas, it's a high-profile organization. So what happens is everybody goes to the extreme. When they're really good, they have the best talent on the planet. No team has ever been – it's the greatest collection of players in the history. Because they're on TV, national TV, 13 out of 16 weeks, you know, everybody goes to the Pro Bowl, all of that. So it gets extreme that way. And then when they lose, oh, they got nobody. And like a lot of things in life, it's in the middle. It's not quite as extreme when it's really good, and it's certainly not as bad as people are making it seem. If you just pull back and say, what do they have there? There are good pieces, and it starts with the quarterback. I do think the running back thing is still a question for them, but they're a talented team. They're not the most talented team in the league, but they're certainly not the least talented team. There's a lot to work with there.
We go too high with this team when they're 12-5. I mean, they're everywhere, right? They're good. They're always a good team. They're always a great team. But we sometimes go too high. And then I think we sometimes go too low on the flip side. That's the nature of being the Cowboys. That's the nature of being with the Lakers or the Yankees or Alabama football. There's the reality of it.
You know, I'll just speak for us. I disagree in this room.
I'm talking about in general.
I'm just going to talk about for us. I don't recall when them having an 11-12 season where I'm like, yo, man, this team's going to the Super Bowl. This team, now I thought they would advance in years
beyond,
past.
Yeah, where
I thought
they did.
The year that San Fran came in here, I remember Brad Shamp shaking his head. You're underestimating, the 49ers, and he was right about that. I thought they would beat San Francisco. And I thought they've had it set up for them. But never when they've been 11 or 12 wins have I really said, all right, we're going to be covering them at Radio Row. And then when they have the horrible seasons, as you usually point out, it's because of injury.
A lot of times it's the quarterback gets hurt. And look, last year. That's true, although I do think...
What did you say?
I said except last year. They were bad before that. They were bad before they got hurt.
They were, but...
But how many games did he play?
Nine,
half the season,
eight. Yeah, okay. They were like 3-5. They were 3-5 when they went to Atlanta, right?
Yeah, they were better. They were better after all the injuries. They had a better record
right.
after the injuries.
The defense solidified itself later in the second half of the year.
Yeah,
and had Dak been healthy, you know, who knows, right? They're probably not. They're not going to win 10 games.
Yeah,
but you know, were they 7-10? You know, I don't think so. And yeah, last year had a lot of problems. One,
he missed over half the season.
So last year had their own problems going in. I still believe. Not giving the extension, at least a one-year thing, impacted something. Right. Maybe not everything, but something. Changing the defensive coordinator, now that wasn't a change.
You had to.
That impacted something. It wasn't no one thing you could pinpoint here.
I love this answer from Jason Garrett. He would know better than anyone. How will Jerry Jones view the antics of the diva wide receiver coming in?
This is the kind of guy that Jerry Jones loves. Jerry Jones loves the George Pickens. He loves the guy who's talented, maybe troubled somewhere else. We can try to create the right environment for him and get the most out of him. That's why the Cowboys through the years have picked a lot of guys that were deemed to be first-round talent in the second round. Maybe they had an injury. Maybe they had a character flaw. Let's give this guy a chance and see if we can get the best out of him. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I think a lot has to do with the environment around the guy at the time. I felt like when I was the head coach there, we drafted a lot of really, really good players who were also great people. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Dak Prescott, these kinds of guys, they could help you absorb maybe a couple of these guys that weren't quite the character guy that you want. They weren't the Boy Scout necessarily. But when you have a lot of other great people around them who kind of show them the way, they stick out like a sore thumb if they start doing the other stuff. Mm. And oftentimes that can help them change their ways. So I think Jerry's probably feels like this is an environment where they can do that. And they see the talent and they see how we can help the offense. So they say, let's take a shot.
Vach Lombardi tweeted something yesterday, kind of connected with Garrett to what Garrett just said. You don't build a leadership culture to keep divas out. You build leadership so they can lead the divas.
Yeah, that's the
baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
That's the thing, is that great culture is not about just blocking out anybody who's a problem. Like in order to have a great culture, the idea is like you can handle Pickens. It's not that you prevent a Pickens from coming in here. It's that you can handle Pickens better than other people can. You can handle Charles Haley. You can handle all the different guys that came along during the 90s Cowboys runs. That's what culture is ultimately about, more than just making sure you've got nothing but Eagle Scouts in here. Like, you want to make sure that you've got guys that are talented, that were bought low on because nobody else could handle them. And you say, like, that's something we can withstand. And that's going to be a big part of it. So I think that's the misunderstanding you had from some friends yesterday who were like, you're supposed to block out anybody like Pickens. It's like, no, if Schottenheimer's talking about establishing a certain kind of culture, then that's supposed to mean that Pickens would thrive here if nowhere else.
You know, they brought T.O. in, right? When they brought, I remember that was, and Bill, it was no secret. Bill wasn't like, oh, baby, right?
But yeah, when you don't refer to the person by name, you're definitely not oh, right. baby, the player.
And
God, I wish I could have covered that.
Oh, my God.
You would have loved it.
Romo was in a much different portion of his career than Dak was. Like, Romo had no skins on the wall.
Yeah.
He had, I mean, he didn't start, but he came into the season like midway through. He had zero skins. He couldn't check T.O.
Yeah.
And I always thought the T.O. attitude here, I thought he was fine. I thought T.O. was largely fine. He had his blow-ups, but he was largely fine. Dak is in a much different position.
And you bring that up. Jason Garrett doing the interview reaction yesterday with Mike Florio and Chris Sims. He said all this is going to go back to number four.
That's why it goes back to the quarterback for me. Because the quarterback's the guy who has to develop the relationship with. He's the guy who's going to spend the most time with. And so he understands, Pickens knows that if I develop a relationship with Dak, he's going to throw me the ball. I'm going to have a lot of success, all of that. And I think Dak fully understands that. And I think that's the key relationship here. Ownership, organizational structure, head coach, very important, obviously. But if you can take the next step and you have an established quarterback, I think that helps it. It helps that guy be less malcontented, if you will. And in Pittsburgh, when he's been there, the quarterback situation's been up in the air.
Right.
I don't think they'd have the same issues if Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback. Antonio Brown had a lot of good years there. And a lot of that had to do with Roethlisberger's presence. And I think the same thing can happen in Dallas with Dak.
Great points. Something that you heard with your additional phone calls yesterday about Pickens and who he played with.
Yeah, I think for George Pickens, a big part of this whole temperament problem that he had was frustration with who he was playing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Mitchell Trubisky throwing him the ball. It's Mason Rudolph. It's Justin Fields. Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson was probably the best quarterback he played with, and Russell Wilson is a guy nobody really wants right now, other than the Giants, I guess. But, no, I think that this will be a turning point, I think, for Pickens, just because he wants to get paid. He's going to be on his best behavior. He's growing up. He's getting older. I think this is probably a little bit of an awakening for him, too, of just like, I'm pretty damn good, and you guys just couldn't wait to get rid of me? Okay.
I could tell by your face you wanted to vocab check Mr. Princeton on that word.
Malcontented?
I just don't know if malcontented is... He may be right.
Did you look at Google it?
But I'll look at... I don't think malcontented is a word.
I do believe Princeton is a good school. And I think they specialize in English.
Malcontented is not a word.
Or are they math? I don't know.
Malcontented is not a word. You should have been able to check this with me because you're the English minor.
I'm the English minor because I took an extra literature, American lit course or English lit, just that I read Frankenstein twice.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on the home of the Cowboys. Probably last one for now. You talk about Dak's leadership. Give us an inside story, Jay Jeezy, of why he is so good behind the scenes.
Then he gets the opportunity to play because Tony gets hurt. Kellen Moore was another one of our backups. He got hurt. So Dak's thrust into it. And it was amazing how well the team responded to him. And I asked him about it halfway through the season. I think we were 9-1 at the time. And I had him in my office. I said, how are you doing this? I mean, how are you getting these guys to play for you? You know, as a rookie, it's hard to do. You got a lot of established players, Pro Bowl players that you're playing with, and they're just so receptive to your leadership. And he said, you know, I can't stand there and make some kind of a speech or be out in front. But what I can do is develop relationships with guys. And you know, so he would be in the locker room. They would play hamper basketball till all hours of the night. You know, it would be, you know, we're going to practice. We're going to watch film. We'll do our meetings. We'll do all that. And then 2 hours later, we're in a staff meeting upstairs. And you hear these guys hooting and hollering. I go downstairs. There's 20 guys in the locker room playing hamper basketball. And Prescott's leading it all, you know. So it's that kind of stuff where he develops one-on-one relationships. They get to know each other. And when you do that, as Michael Irvin told me many, many years ago, you have a voice. And that's what you want in life. You want to have a voice. So it's time spent, and he understands how to do that. He does as well as anybody I've been around.
I just think Jason, in that type of setting, I mean, I thought he was fantastic. Really, really good perspectives from all angles on the Pickens deal.
Yeah, this is why I always thought he'd be really good doing the analyst role. It hasn't been as good as I thought it would have been, but I always thought, because he is, I feel like, really good at talking about, like, breaking down the mechanics of the game. And, and when you hear him story, he may just be a better, like, studio host.
I think in studio with those highlight shows, it's not long enough for him.
He needs long form.
Yeah. And if you say, all right, Jason, give me a 30-second clip versus a minute 30, he's going to be much better in the minute. But he can fill the time. He's got the education. He's got the stories. He's got the energy. You know, you can be cheesy in those 20, 25, 30-second clips.
Yeah, look, he is a really good recall.
Yeah.
Right? He's very smart.
He loves the history of it.
He's a good storyteller. That's like half the battle. Podcast world he'd be great in.
I was gonna say, but if there was a Jason Garrett podcast, I would listen to probably every episode,
because like, you know, he probably is, for all of his faults that he has a coach, I liked him as a coach, but he had faults, like he probably is a very smart football guy anyway, right? He is, you know, he's a smart guy in general. I could see how he would be great in those long form roles, but you can see
why guys would really like him too.
He's a leader. You know, I also think the further he gets away from the game and he comes to the realization that he's never going to coach again, he might open up a little bit more.
All right, so last thing on the deal, Scooter Magruder, Cowboy fan, he does these videos where I think he tries to encapsulate, no need to vocab my American University education, he tries to go ahead and recap the emotions of everyone when something like this happens. See how many of these landed for you, Scooter Magruder, with a little comedy Cowboy Pickens reaction.
So are we getting George Pickens or not?
They said last night it was a done deal.
Did you see CD's tweet last night? It's foreshadowing.
I'll believe it when I see it.
We got George Pickens! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
So we traded a third and they gave us a sixth.
Wait, what did we trade?
We traded a third round pick in 2026 and a fifth round pick in 2027 and they gave us a sixth round pick in 2027. This almost makes up for trading Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick. I know it's only for a year, but we're probably gonna give him a new deal.
This is weird. I'm actually proud of Jerry Jones.
Now how's our draft looking?
There's a reason we didn't draft a wide receiver too.
Is this a dream?
Let Jerry cook.
Is Omar Khan the worst GM in the league?
I'm gonna have to get an Omar Khan Steelers jersey.
So Jerry Jones doesn't hate Dak.
We have the best wide receiver core in the NFC East now.
I don't care if he's a hothead. I would be too if I lived in Pittsburgh.
Malik Nabers about to find out why George Pickens was so mad last year.
Who's gonna be the third receiver? Do we put CeeDee in the slot?
The Steelers got absolutely fleeced.
Embrace the drama.
They got a second round pick for Chase Claypool, but a third round pick for George Pickens.
You see the Jordan Lewis tweet?
This makes up for the Roy Williams stream.
I don't know, man. This could negatively affect the locker room.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that nonsense. He's 24 years old and a bona fide threat.
You sound soft right now.
So now you want to cry when Jerry Jones actually does something?
He has the same agent as Micah?
Jerry Jones better get to know him now.
Hear me out.
We still sign Amari Cooper.
I actually have hope this season.
If we stay healthy, we can have the best offense in the league.
I can't believe we got the wide receiver from the meme.
I don't want to say it.
But this is our year, baby. Let's go.
The things he hit on for me, the compensation we're all trying to figure out. Oh, it's a fifth, becomes a sixth.
We get one back, but they also throw one an extra one.
Yeah, the Jerry props, the all-in storyline. Was this part of the draft plan? The Jordan Lewis tweet? David Mulugeta, knowing his name now, David ever respond to you yesterday?
He liked something I said, but I'll tell you during the break.
But he's not coming on.
No. No.
Okay. So there it is. I think Scooter Magruder, he does a good job.
You know, like when you have, to me, like I want a linebacker who toes the line to be a little crazy versus not. And if you don't have a little bit crazy of a linebacker, I don't think you have a linebacker. If you don't have a wide receiver who's a little bit of a diva, you don't have a wide receiver.
Okay.
You got a possession receiver.
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's gonna be like your new clothing line. Get those slogans.